close friend of Leopold Stokowski, the famous orchestra conductor, has written about Stokowski, who often said to him, "Don't ask me about what was, but what is to come." That was typical of the attitude that Stokowski took in his own personal approach to life. "Don't ask me about what was, but what is to come." And St. Peter just told us a moment ago, through the early Christians, that the whole of our lives must always be directed toward the future, toward the coming again of Christ in the daily events of our lives, through us. And that is what the Advent season is all about. And that is also what the Christian fullness of our lives is all about. Not only are we to pray and wait for the end, which is the goal, the new heaven and the new earth, says Peter, but we are also to work day in and day out to hasten it. In short, Peter says today, each of us is to become an instrument of and a witness of the coming of the rule of God here in this world through the daily events of our lives, through all that we do. That is the kingdom. The trouble is how often we fail really to become that kind of a signal for other people, pointing by our lives and what we do toward the future. So often we are tempted to seek our security in the past. And that's why nowadays there's been a great revival of nostalgia industry, antique collecting. So many people seek security by trying to recover that which already is past. Old silent films are being revived. Flea markets do a big business in comic books and music records. And record shelves are even stocked with excerpts from 30 and 40 years ago of old radio serials and news broadcasts. It's true that for some people nostalgia can be fun, whether it's 20 or 50 or 200 years ago. But at the same time, we must remember seriously that it is dangerous to move into the future with our eyes always glued to the rear view mirror. And in some leadership aspects in our own country, that seems to be the direction. Now, some people I know find a great comfort to really believe that everything that is now and that everything that will be has already been before. But today's scripture tells us Christian people that we are to believe in what is to be genuinely new, that new events in history are going to occur that have never been seen before. Isaiah today told us, "Remember not the former things of years gone by. Do not consider the things of old, but behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing, says the Lord. And now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? A new earth, a new heaven is being created in our midst through us." Christians are invited to run out and look. But Christians are promised comfort in the work they do to bring it about. It is not the comfort of nostalgia, security in the past, however. For us, it is the comfort of an ongoing, restless kind of hope in the future. A hope that the fulfillment of God's promises will be brought about. And that is why Isaiah tells us today, comfort, give comfort to my people. Comfort is the word for strengthen. The day is coming when every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. It's our attitude toward history that is so important here. Aldous Huxley was asked for his own general observation on the nature of history. Generally speaking, the famous author replied, history is just one damn thing after another. And I think that is what it seems to be for some of us in this country. Because only a fool would think that anyone would ever have an exact blueprint of what's going to unfold in history. And that's really what the early Christians felt. The really good biblical scholars tell us today that the early Christian people were deeply disappointed, scandalized. What seemed to be for them this terrible delay for the coming of the Lord. They expected it in their own lifetime. And that's why there is so much confusion in the passage we just heard from Peter today and passages like it. It's an imaginative use of cosmic symbols to describe the Lord's coming, a recreation of this world into a new world. The passages use poetic, apocalyptic imagery. But unfortunately, these passages have given rise to some very foolish fundamentalist speculations in the past few months, even to the absurd point of Armageddon being used to invade recent campaign rhetoric. Not only is it inappropriate, but it's very, very bad theology. The real intent of these passages are intended to enkindle in our hearts a practical, effective kind of hope to keep on working to bring about a new heaven, a new earth. The people in the early church did have a hard time trying to give some kind of understanding to the vastness of history. And that's why Peter said today to his hearers then, he said, remember, people, in the Lord's eye, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are just like one day for the Lord. The Lord does not delay in keeping his promise, though for some people it sounds like delay. The same thing is true today for the modern mind. We are only gradually becoming aware of the vastness of the universe. And the universe is beyond this universe. And our own idea of time has multiplied over 1,000 times beyond what was even conceivable to people 2,000 years ago. Today, scientists speak about the world's history in terms of millions of years. And that's why it's quite possible in the total scheme of things, our world today is still very young, very young. And once we begin to grasp that, a period of a decade or a lifetime is very brief. And yet today we pray with the early church, the same words, amen, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come. Our time today in history is no less urgent than any other time. It is the only time that we people have to do our work to bring about a new city of peace, of Jerusalem. And we should be looking for the day the coming day of God, trying to hasten it. The period of history in which we live is not intended to be a time of relaxation from the urgent work that God has given us. We are given, as Paul says, today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation, liberation. Far from being one damn thing after the other, history is precious, the testing of human merit. And more than that, history is really the bearer of human hope for all of us. History is the cradle for a new birth of Christ in us, a new birth of Christ in all people, that all things will be reborn again in Him. Behold, I come to make all things new through you, says the Lord. And yet for us, it's like the little ad that appeared in the personal column in a small weekly newspaper. Retired school teacher, tired of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Is there a gentleman in the late 60s or older who can help me find my way to the playground before the bell rings? I almost answered it. John the Baptist. But John the Baptist keeps our hopes up, proclaiming that indeed the baptism of repentance is to be ours to bring around before the bell rings. That we are the people who look to the future. We are the ones who must change our ways. We are the ones called to cast off egoism, self-centeredness, become other-centered. We are the ones who are to put on the mantle of peace and justice, to serve the risen Lord in service to our sisters and brothers in need in whom He dwells. We make no mistake about it. We are to repent in that way to bring about a new world. It's not easy. It's not smooth. To serve means sacrifice. The course is uneven. The valleys are not yet filled. The mountains are not brought low. And we human beings go on rebelling against the rule of God. And that's why there's still terror and bloodshed until the old way gives way to the new heaven and the new earth. But even now, before that bell rings for each one of us, the promise is there. In Jesus Christ, resurrection power of that promise triumphed over His death and someday over ours. And we are called upon to live with that resurrection power in our heart that promise is to bring. The resurrection power whereby our lives, in one way or another, will hasten the Lord's coming. No matter how feeble, how futile our efforts sometimes seem, Jesus assures us that every single human act of healing love that we do in our lifetime is instrumental in some small way in building the new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. Each of us has some small part to heal this broken world, to help make its way to the playground before the final bell rings in our life. And we are the ones called to call the signals, to proclaim to all the other people of the world that our future is most uncommon. Our future promised by God is too good not to be true.
Please join in 3 verses of Comfort My People, number 226.